You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Whatever name you choose, Burma or Myanmar, during the 45 years the country has been under military rule following a coup, it suffered through repression, civil war, and poor governance. And that's led to a human rights disaster that now also includes a serious health crisis. Recently, the Burmese government's extreme travel restrictions have forced most aid workers out of the country. So for the first part of today's Underreported, I have asked Arya Nair, president of the Open Society Institute, and Brian Williams, UNAIDS country coordinator for Burma, to join me. And I'm very pleased to welcome them to the show. Hello.
Hello.
Now, first of all, which name do you prefer to use, Burma or Myanmar, the name that the military junta has adopted? Brian?
With the United Nations, we refer to the country as Myanmar, although often when I'm traveling and outside the country, I'm pleased to call it Burma as well. It's the people insides and their rights that I'm mostly worried about rather than the name.
But I guess in this country, a lot of people call it Burma, Arya, because yes. It's a way of almost protesting what's been going on in the country.
I think that's right. I think that almost anything that the military adopts becomes anathema to those who are most critical of the military government.
Let's make sure all of our listeners understand the basics of what's happening in Burma. Are the country's infrastructure functioning at all?
That's a difficult question to answer. I'd like to hear Mr. Williams, actually, on that, since he resides there.
I'm the UNAIDS country coordinator, so my work in Myanmar focuses almost exclusively on trying to figure out how to better support the AIDS response to the country. So I'm most familiar with the public health infrastructure. The public health infrastructure is quite weak, in fact. There is, of course, a string of hospitals and clinics around the country, but they're quite poor and they don't get sufficient resources from the government to operate as well as they could.
And that's because the government spends so little on health, according to a report from this past July by the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health and the Human Rights Center in Berkeley. 3% of the national expenditures are on health. 40% goes to the military. I guess we shouldn't be surprised, right?
It's a very tiny expenditure on public health. A number of years ago, the World Health Organization looked at spending on public health worldwide, and they considered 191 countries. And at that point, Burma was 190th of 191. Sierra Leone was in the middle of a civil war at that moment, and it was the only country that was behind Burma at that point. And I should say, at this stage, Burma is getting quite a lot of income because it has natural gas and other resources. And so the very low expenditure on public health is more outrageous today than it has been in the past. Let me also, if I may, just add a word on the infrastructure question. It's almost impossible to separate that question from the kind of control that the government exercises. For instance, a number of years ago when I was in Burma, the government had just relocated a very large part of the population of the capital, Rangoon to those who use the name Burma, Yangon to those who call it Myanmar. They had taken them out of the center of the city and put them in outlying areas with limited connections to the center of the city. One such district that I went to had a single road leading to the city and a population of about 150,000, and the road had to pass through water areas, so it couldn't be expanded at all. And it sort of gave the government absolute ability to control the residents of that area, and they seem to have wanted to get them out of the center of the city to maximize control. Recently, the government has overnight relocated the capital from Rangoon or Yangon and built mansions for the military in the new capital. And one could only imagine that this was done for some security or control reason. So it's an infrastructure that is entirely sort of subject to the military's absolute intent to maintain complete control over the country.
The military, which calls itself the State Peace and Development Council, when they took over the country, they declared it the Socialist Republic of the Union of Burma. They've changed the name since, but has it been a socialist state in the classic sense?
I don't think in any classic sense it could be considered a socialist state. It's a military state. Everything is controlled by the military. The military controls all the resources of the country. The spending takes place on the military. It has a very large military, about 450,000 or 475,000 men for a country that is not at war. That's an enormous number. I think that's the only way to characterize it, as a militarized state rather than as a socialist state.
Ibrahim, what are the most pressing health problems in Burma right now? Are they mostly infectious diseases?
Indeed, there's a number of health problems in the country. I work on the AIDS program, and the AIDS epidemic in Myanmar is one of the three worst in Southeast Asia, alongside Thailand and Cambodia.
And why is that? Because the country has isolated itself?
The AIDS epidemic in Myanmar follows something of a classic pattern for Asian epidemics. Prevalence rates were quite high initially in the injecting drug users community. This is not unrelated to the production of drugs in Burma. From the injecting drug user community, prevalence and the HIV virus spread to sex workers and from sex workers into the general population.
Did the government address those issues right away, or did it ignore them as many governments, repressive governments, have in the past?
Yeah, although they started a surveillance program back in the early 90s, it would be fair to say that in the mid-90s and even the late 90s, there's a general denial of the AIDS epidemic, a reluctance to admit that it was a serious problem and a reluctance to address it. But starting around the beginning of this decade, a number of voices, United Nations organizations, also some international NGOs, began to advocate quite seriously that something needed to be done. And since that time, there has been a bit of a shift and a greater willingness to recognize that it's a problem.
Well, you said also it was spreading through sex workers. So we have prostitution and we have illicit drug use in a country where the government seems to know what everybody is doing. How does that happen? Are they cracking down on what they on certain things but not other things?
I think in almost every country in the world, there are men who are interested to procure sex, and they almost always find a way to do it, even though sex work is illegal in most countries. And similar can be said for drug use. That said, sex workers are regularly arrested in Myanmar. It's a problem for public health programming. Injecting drug users are also arrested. In fact, in Burma, it is illegal simply to be biologically addicted to a drug is already to commit an illegal action. And we are very concerned about the number of arrests of both these populations.
And one should say that there are places where sex work is quite flagrant. There has been a problem in Burma involving the truckers and loggers coming from China to cut down the hardwood forests. Burma did have until recently, I don't know what it is at this moment, but they did have until recently probably the best hardwood forests remaining in Asia. Thailand next door has been denuded of its hardwood forests, while Burma still had a very significant forest.
We're talking about teak?
And other quite precious hardwoods. But the Chinese loggers and truckers have been coming in. perhaps to pay for Burma's arms purchases from China, and a very large sex work industry grew up in the area where the logging takes place to serve them, and that's been one of the factors in spreading HIV in southern China.
My guests are Arya Nair, president of the Open Society Institute, and Brian Williams, UNAIDS country coordinator for Burma. And we're talking about the health crisis.
Can I say one thing about the health crisis? It's not only HIV.
Yeah,
AIDS.
Malaria and tuberculosis are running rampant too, aren't
right.
they?
And then there's another disease called filariasis, and this is a disease that disfigures people and disables them. Thailand has virtually wiped out that disease, but it's very widespread in Burma. It can be controlled with a trivial expenditure, but Burma doesn't use its resources for such purposes.
Is it obvious that there are a lot of people suffering from filariasis, Brian? You haven't seen that. But what about tuberculosis? There were a few cases this past summer of drug-resistant TB in Burmese migrants who were living in a Thai border town.
Yeah, that's the extreme version of drug resistance. They have quite a lot of drug-resistant tuberculosis, but the extreme version, which has also turned up in southern Africa, and one case which created a great stir in the United States, has also been detected.
There is indeed a lot of tuberculosis and malaria in Burma, in addition to the AIDS problem. I think what's important to keep in mind is that the people living inside the country have rights to treatment services to protect themselves from these diseases, or to be treated if they're infected, and this requires international resources. It requires resources. We fully advocate, the United Nations advocates, that the government increase its expenditures in healthcare and in education and other social sectors as well. But while that's not happening, we believe that people inside the country have a right to receive treatment from whatever sources we can provide it. And in at least in the area of AIDS, which I know best, in recent years we have been able to take international resources, and largely through working with international NGOs, but also to a certain degree with the public health system, we've been able to increase the number of people whose rights to health care can be met.
But hasn't the Burmese government imposed travel restrictions that have made it difficult for aid workers to help people throughout the country?
Many of the projects around the country outside of Yangon indeed require permission to be able to go and visit them. And you have to apply in advance to the authorities, and certainly this obstructs a very efficient implementation of programs. However, in the cases of most of the partners working on AIDS, they are able to visit their project sites.
So you're able to travel around the country when you go there?
I'm able to travel around the country, that's correct. We do have to ask for permission ahead of time, and we're always accompanied with somebody from the public health services, a doctor. But we are able to visit project sites. We are able to meet beneficiaries, talk to people who are benefiting from services.
Yeah, but one should point out that three very significant institutions, for different reasons, have felt that they had to stop operating in Burma or largely discontinue their activities. Médecins Sans Frontières France, which has done magnificent work worldwide, felt that it had to pull out of Burma because of the restrictions that were imposed on it. The International Committee of the Red Cross, which I regard as the premier humanitarian organization worldwide in its in the quality of the work that it does, in its political sophistication, and in every respect, has had to discontinue most of its activities. And then a much newer institution, the Global Fund to Fight AIDS, Tuberculosis, and Malaria, felt that it had to discontinue its funding for Burma, and it would have been the most significant.
That's the Three Diseases Fund?
No, the Three Diseases Fund is, in a sense, an attempt to substitute for the Global Fund. The Global Fund is what it calls itself. That is an institution created to support efforts worldwide to deal with AIDS, tuberculosis, and malaria. And there have been other places where the Global Fund has had difficulty. For example, they were never able to go forward with a grant for tuberculosis in North Korea because North Korea imposed such significant travel restrictions. And they've had difficulty in a few other countries. But Burma was one country where they did agree to provide funding. They felt that the health minister negotiated with them in good faith to allow them to monitor the projects that they would be supporting. And then they felt that the military had, in effect, violated the agreement they had, which would have allowed them to monitor their programs, and they discontinued their funding on that basis.
Yeah, the environment that Arye is describing is true. It's a very complicated. MSF France did decide that they couldn't function effectively. Problems with the ICRC that are very, very disturbing. At the same time, there are other organizations in different areas of work that find that they can work. Médecins Sans Frontières Holland is providing the vast majority of antiretroviral treatment, life-saving antiretroviral treatment today. There's about 7,000 people in Myanmar who are receiving it, and most of it are receiving it from MSF Holland. An American NGO, Population Services International, is very active in working with sex workers and promoting condoms. The number of condoms available in Myanmar has quintupled since 1999. There are now about 50 million condoms a year being distributed or socially marketed in Myanmar. That's about one per capita, and it's beginning to approach levels that we see in Thailand or Nepal, other countries in the region.
So is the junta softening? Because recently they didn't crack down as much as they have in the past on recent protests.
I think some agencies feel that they are able to negotiate their way to a point where they can operate and do a certain amount of good. I'm a great admirer, for example, of Population Services International, and I'm very pleased that they are able to provide some significant help in Burma. But the fact remains that this is a government that has resources, spends them on things other than health, mainly the military, but also such things as this expensive new capital that they created for themselves, and creates difficulties to the point where some of the most significant humanitarian organizations in the world feel that they cannot operate. And then there are parts of the country where the government seems not to want any outsider to see what's going on, and makes it impossible for groups to work there. And all of this means that you have a health crisis in the country, and the health crisis is to some extent being addressed by international institutions, but international institutions are not able to address the health crisis as they would like to, and to the degree that is required. And so the government policies are causing a large number of Burmese to suffer greatly and to die from these diseases. Malaria is the biggest killer in Burma today. And one has to attribute this directly to the repressive policies of the government.
Arye Nair, president of the Open Society Institute, and Brian Williams, UNAIDS country coordinator for Burma, will be participating in a panel discussion tonight on the challenges of delivering humanitarian aid to Burma. It's co-sponsored by the Asia Society and the Open Society Institute. And the discussion, Human Rights and Public Health, the Burma-Myanmar Tragedy, begins at 6:30. It's at the Asia Society, 725 Park Avenue at 70th Street. You can call the Asia Society box office for tickets at 212-517-ASIA or visit tickets.asiasociety.org. And my great thanks to both of you for being with us today.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.